has got interest packets for you, and we'll get ready to go, okay? Numbers chapter 13. Today I want to share a word with you that the Lord shared with me while I was at camp with the teens. And the name of this word is evaluating the possibilities. Evaluating the possibilities. So Numbers chapter 13, we're going to begin to read at verse 26. Now we're jumping right into the middle of a story where the children of Israel, God has brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and He has brought them across the wilderness right to the brink of their inheritance. Right to the brink of it. And God told Moses, as the leader of that congregation, He told Moses, He said, I want you to get 12 spies, one from each tribe, and I want you to send them out, and I want you to go send them into the land to spy out the land, and then I want them to come back and give a report to the congregation of what they have seen. And that's where we're jumping in. I guess I better get my... Oh, I can read it up there. So here we go. Are you ready? All right, so now they departed, and then they came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel who were in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh, and they brought back word to them and to all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land. And then they told them, they said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. Boy, we're going in 2019 to the land of milk and honey. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Those are the descendants of the giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land in the south. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who'd gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel what? A bad what? Bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. We saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, come from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So here you go. This group of men had been sent out to bring back a report, and the Bible tells us that they brought back a bad report about what they had seen. Now, we go on, we got more, I believe. So what was the result of the bad report the spies brought back? So all the people, congregation, lifted up their voices and they cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt as a slave. Or if only we had died in the wilderness as a rebel. Because that's who died in the wilderness, were all the rebels. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us in. So their focus is on not on what they saw, but on the one who spoke to them. then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation, this is the last thing I'm going to read, said to stone them with stones. You know, I've often wondered why God would tell Moses to send out spies, to send out a group of people for an evaluation before he sent the Israelites into the land. And one of the reasons that I wondered that is because one of the most effective ways to stop God's people from doing the impossible is to ask them for an evaluation of what is possible. It's one of the most effective ways to stop what God wants to do by sending them in, letting them come back with their own evaluation of what they feel like can happen. This group of Israelites, think about what they had seen. They had seen the power of God move. They had seen God humble the greatest empire on the face of the earth at that time, the Egyptians. They had seen God bring them out with a mighty hand. They had seen God feed them as they moved across the wilderness. They had seen him provide water for them supernaturally. And they still didn't believe that God was going to be able to do what he told them. Now, before we get too hard on them, let's think about us, because that's who this word is to today. Now, here we are. We have the death of Jesus to look at, which frees us from all fear of abandonment. Abandonment by God. We have the resurrection of Jesus, which frees us from all fear of failure. Failure that we're not going to have the power to be able to accomplish what God's told us to do. We have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead falling upon us, entering our lives and operating within us. And then sometimes we still don't believe what God tells us about ourselves and about what he wants to do in our lives. Now, I want to give you a little bit of my definition of what a bad report is. A bad report, it's not up there, but a bad report is any evaluation contrary to God's proclamation. Any evaluation that we have contrary to God's proclamation is a bad report. A bad report. Now, I'm talking to real people today. How many of you want to go further than you've ever been with God? You want to go further? Then listen, there's a few things that we can learn from these from the children of Israel that will help us to move forward in the things of God. The first point that I want to bring to you, first thing that we need to understand if we're going to go forward into what God has for us is this. A key to success is how you view yourself. How do you view yourself? Now, the children of Israel went to the land. They saw the possibilities. They saw the goodness of the land. They tasted the fruit. They brought some back. But they quickly lost focus on what God told them was possible because they started looking at themselves. And that's a long-time trick of Satan. To get you to doubt God, he will point the finger at you. He wants you to believe that you're unable or unworthy to experience what God has for you. Okay? Well, you know what? He's right. Yeah, I said he's right. So, Pastor, you're not supposed to come into agreement with the devil. I am unable to accomplish the supernatural on my own. And I am unworthy of all the goodness that God has given to me. So why are we arguing with the enemy about an established point? That's not what this is all about. This is about God's ability. This is about God's desire. And this is about what God says he's going to do. Now, I am God's child, and so are you. And if you're God's children, then he loves you. And because of that, fact, He has decreed a plan for your life. And there is no devil in hell, no giant that you're going to come across that's going to be able to keep that from happening. There's only one person that can keep that from happening. Guess who that is? That's you. You are the only one. And the only way that you can keep yourself out of what God has for you is by coming into agreement with a bad report. And bad reports usually start with us focusing on ourselves. Oh, we saw the people that lived there. They were great big. And then we look like grasshoppers in comparison to them. Then he even starts saying the perspective of the other person. And you know, to them we look like grasshoppers. And then the next thing you know, they're just completely talked themselves out of what God has planned to do in their lives. Brothers and sisters, I'm preaching on this today for a reason. This is the time where we must get in agreement with God, because this congregation and you as an individual are about to move into an inheritance. You're about to move. Now, you've been on the move for a while, but God has got you at the precipice of a brand new thing. Some of you, the brand new thing is going to require massive changes in your life, changes in what you do for a living. Some of you have been doing the same thing for a long time, and God says, no, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to do something different. And He's got us at the precipice, and you're at the precipice, and you're looking over to see what God's going to do for you, and your response during this period of time is extremely important, because a people of prophecy will prophesy their own future. You are a prophetic people. Anybody that walks and talks with God is a prophetic people. And you are going to prophesy out of your own mouth, out of your own heart, where you're going to end up. And you're going to want your words to line up with what God says. Because when it does, God's words release within you creative power to create the very things that you're missing and the weaknesses that you have that you could look at and talk yourself out of being able to go in. Hey, look, our inability is known. It's a given. This isn't about our ability. So why do we let the enemy talk to us about our abilities? It's not about that. And this isn't about your past. This is about the future and what God's going to do now. So why do you let the enemy talk to you about your past in regard to what God wants to do in the future? That's not what this is about. This is about God looking at His child and said, ride out with me. We are going into this land. It's wild. It's crazy. It's scary. But it's awesome. It's amazing. And the most beautiful thing about it, it's yours. And you look in it and you see all this stuff inhabiting it. Boy, you see all these giants and all these impossibilities, things that you couldn't do on your own. And the next thing you know, you start looking at yourself rather than the one who's right next to you. And you start believing a bad report rather than the report that God spoke into your heart. That's the language of failure in the spirit. We evaluate what is possible as people of God based upon God's word, not height, not depth, not width, not size, and listen to this, or any other insignificant factor. The other factors are insignificant in the face of God. Lord, it's too big. Lord, it's too wide. Lord, it's too deep. Lord, it's too far. Lord, it's too expensive. Lord, I'm not educated. I'm not this. I'm not that. You know, the Lord will listen to all that, but what He's really waiting for you to do is get back to the place where you're in agreement with Him. Remember, Moses gave all those excuses. Can't do this, can't do that, can't do this, can't do that. You know, all of these things. God listened to all that, but God finally looked at him and he said, "Are you either going to believe me or you're not. You're either going to believe me or you're not. How many are feel like you're at the place where God's looking at you saying, do you believe what I'm telling you? Do you believe what I'm telling you? No, it's impossible, God. I'm too old. Do you believe me or do you not? It's important. It's important. As brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter how others view you, but how you view yourself, and that view better line up with the Word of God. Remember David? Remember when Samuel came to Jesse's house to look for the prophesied leader of Israel? The Scripture says this, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his physical appearance or at his physical stature, for the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at what? At the heart." That's how God is judging what is possible through you. Now, God can do anything. Nothing can stop it. But the way that you're going to partner with that is by your heart saying, yes, God, you can do this. David had never fought a giant before. But he said, well, I've never fought a giant before. But I have fought my lions and I have fought my bears. And God delivered them into my hand. He said, so therefore, if God says this is possible, height, width, armament is not how of the enemy is not how I evaluate if I'm going to take the field or not. I said, Lord, are you with me? He says, I'm with you. He says, then I'll march out there and I'll face him, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like all the others. David reigned as a byproduct of that simple decision. How many of you want to reign with Christ? There's a decision in front of you. You're going to have to agree with God about it. Second thing, a key to success is knowing who's with you. Now let's go back to the first one, okay, about how you view yourself. The children of Israel didn't know themselves because they didn't know God. They didn't know themselves because they didn't know God. When you don't know God, you won't know you. Our identity and ability is found in our relationship with Him, right? He tells us who we are. He tells us what is possible. He tells us where we're going to end up. Now, the enemy will try to take that directional position in your life. Don't give it to him. And don't you take it either. You must keep your evaluations based upon the Word of the Lord. You know what I like in Romans? In Romans 8:31, we've been studying Romans on Wednesday night. I love the book of Romans. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, there's Muslims over there where you guys are going, and that's dangerous. If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, there's lions over there. If God is for us, who can be against us? As long as Rhonda doesn't get out of the van and go to the restroom, we'll be okay. She was in a different van than I was when we were out in the Mara. And she had to go to the restroom. It's 4 hours because you're out, you know, yeah. And she got out and used the restroom out where the lions were. I can just see them sitting in the bush looking at her. There's a roast right there. And thank God, God put a spirit of I'm not hungry on them. You know? And they didn't come up and snatch her and run off with her. I said, how do you get out of the van? It's like Jurassic Park or Jurassic World or something. These idiots get out of their vehicles. And so, then the next thing you know, they're running for their life. And screaming and everything. What killed that guy? Wasn't a T-Rex, it was stupidity. You know, I had a Uncle Bill. Uncle Bill was something else in my family. I'm telling you, the dude was something. He'd just soon pick a fight as be your friend. He owned a restaurant. He owned Dairy Queens. One time a group of people pulled up and they ordered like 7 milkshakes, large ones. And they made them all, and the group of people came up through the window, and for some reason, I don't know why, they told my uncle that they didn't want them. Well, my uncle had the whole bag of them. He said, "You ordered them, you take them." He just threw it in the car. And they went all over the car, all over everybody. That was my uncle. One time a lady brought a hamburger back. She said, "Something's wrong with my hamburger. It doesn't taste right." He reached over, grabbed it, took a bite of it, said, "There's nothing wrong with it," handed it back to her. That's the kind of guy he was. Well, when he was young, he used to go out and get in fights up there in Illinois where they were from. My dad was one of 10 brothers and sisters, and my dad's family was poor as church mice. I'm telling you, it was something. Their dad was an alcoholic, and it was something. So Bill would go out, and he would pick a fight, and he would fight like a madman when he'd get involved in these fights. But sometimes there were just fights he couldn't win. So when he came back from a fight he couldn't win, all Bill beat up, he didn't go back into the house and sit down and go, "Man, you know, that wasn't how Uncle Bill was." You know what Uncle Bill would do? He'd go get his big brother, Donnie. Now, Donnie was massive. Don, I think they buried him in a piano case. Donnie's son, my cousin, was about 600 pounds when he died. But Don was huge. And Don was mean, too. And so this isn't a very nice story. Well, I'm getting there. So Bill would go back, and he would get Don. He'd say, "Don, that guy down there whooped me. Come with me." He said, "We're Coburns." So they'd go back down there. Well, Bill, he wouldn't run from his enemy. He'd get right back in front of his enemy again. But the next time he got in front of his enemy, there was a big shadow around him. You know? And as I thought about that, I thought about us, and I thought about Psalm 91. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the what? Under the shadow of the Almighty." You know, you may feel like you're standing out there looking at your enemy all alone, but there's a shadow around you. One time the Lord gave me a dream, and I was fighting demons in this dream. I really was. I was fighting demons, and I was having a hard time. And the next thing I know in the dream, this gigantic guy with this long thing that touched the floor, long hair, came up behind those two demons, and he grabbed one with one hand and one with the other, and he said, "You don't want to bother him." That's what he told us, and that's when I woke up. You have massive power working with you. And so what should we do? "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you." Third and final thing. Success depends upon who's leading you. Now, in this reference, I'm not speaking of the leading of the Lord, because we've been talking about that, but I'm talking about your physical leader. Who's speaking into your life? When the people became discouraged, you know what they did? They said, "We need a change in leadership. We need to find someone who will agree with our evaluation and take us back to the place of safety and comfort. Take us back." Everybody say, "Take us back." Ain't no place to go back. I can tell you, I've already been there. I'm not going behind me any longer. There's nothing to go back to. Now, the way ahead may be weird, strange, dangerous, or whatever, but there's nothing to go back to. And you need a leader who will challenge you to live at the level of your impossibility. And when you reach the level of your impossibility, then you will experience the possibilities of God. Now, I love success, but we're not, I love success. I do. But we're not necessarily after success here in this church. We're going beyond success to the supernatural. I want to live in the supernatural. How many of you say me too? Now, there's going to be a lot of success along the way, but my eyes aren't on the comforts of this life. My eyes is on walking and living in the supernatural. Wherever that takes us, wherever that goes. We used to sing a song back in the mid-80s. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. What does His report say? His report says, I am healed. His report says, I am filled. His report says, I am free. His report says what? Victory. And then we'd dance and do all this. And it was all about one thing. Whose report will you believe? It wasn't about could God do it or not. It was all about whose report will you believe? And so we in the body of Christ were singing that to each other and looking around and saying, whose report are we going to believe? Well, we're not capable. Not a question. We never have been. Well, we're unworthy. Not an issue. We always have been unworthy. That's not what this is about. This is about God saying something to His children and saying, this is where we're going. This is what it's going to happen. And us saying, yes, sir. We're going. We're like Bilbo Baggins. We're about the size of Bilbo. Got hairy feet like Bilbo. Some bad feet. Bilbo says, we're going on an adventure. We're going on an adventure. We're going on an adventure. We may come back with a few more scars than what we had, but we're going to be victorious in the long run. Now, brothers and sisters, there's a reason I know why the Lord's given me this word. Because there's a bunch of you that are on the precipice of going into something, and you got to make a decision before you go. This church is about to go into something. The Lord's been talking to me, saying, Parky, get ready for the unusual, the unexplainable. I said, well, Lord, but my experience, He said, don't talk to me about your experience. He said, listen to me. He said, I'm orchestrating things you can't see right now.
Yes.
And He said, are you ready to go with me?
Yes.
And that question's got to be answered. You know? The question's got to be answered. And the children of Israel prophesied their future through their unbelief. And God, because you know what God said to them later in the Bible? I'm going to give you exactly what you said. I'm going to give you exactly what you said was going to happen to you. Okay? So, we've got a role to play in this. So, whose report are we going to believe? We shall believe what? The report of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for this day. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your word. Lord, I don't want to live a life where all I do is go to work, come home, 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 And then someday I look back and, Father, I think I didn't really do anything significant. Now, those things are important. But, Lord, while I'm out there, use me. There's a different thing from me going and me being sent. So, Lord, send me. And if you say it's possible, I will agree with you. I'm not going to look at myself and evaluate. I'm not going to look at the past and evaluate. But whatever you say, my answer will be yes. Everybody say yes.
Yes.
So, Father, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.